Welcome to our site and good morning on this beautiful Christmas morning here in Cape Town, South Africa. I've entitled my Christmas sermon, God's Christmas Tree. God's Christmas Tree. The other day, the owners of Constantia Aitzig Estate, who are friends of ours, took my wife and I on a tour of their farm, as they affectionately call it. I grew up on a farm. I have visited scores of farms, but I've never seen anything quite like Aitzig. The transformation that has taken place in a few short years is nothing short of remarkable. Not just the vineyards and the acres of flowers, but the few thousand trees that have been planted. Such a variety of flowers and trees. Trees can do a lot for you, can't they? They can provide shade, protection, timber, fruit, and so many other things. I want to share with you then this morning a word about God's Christmas tree. Did you know that trees are mentioned in the Bible more than any other living thing other than God and people? There's a tree on the first page of the Bible. There's a tree mentioned in the first psalm in the Bible. The first page of the New Testament and the last page of the Bible also mention trees. In fact, it seems like a tree marks the spot of every major event in the Bible. Trees are the oldest things living on earth. Did you know that? There are trees alive today that were already old when Jesus was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. God loves trees. I'm sure you do as well. I certainly love trees. But sadly, still today, many people can't see the wood for the trees when it comes to Christmas and the true message of Christmas. So often these days, Christmas is simply treated as a holiday season. Did you know that not just every major event in the Bible, but every major character in the Bible appears in conjunction with a tree? Right from Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and then Noah knew that it would soon be safe to disembark from the ark when a dove returned with a freshly plucked olive leaf. Abraham, our spiritual father, sat under the oaks of Mamre when the Lord appeared to him. Moses stood barefoot before the burning bush in the wilderness when God spoke to him. And when Jacob blessed Joseph, he called him a fruitful vine. In the New Testament, we read of Zacchaeus, you remember, who climbed a sycamore fig tree to get a glimpse of Jesus. The disciples gathered on the Mount of Olives, where Jesus was arrested. The Apostle Paul describes Christians as being grafted into Israel's tree trunk. So, when we see that a tree marks the spot of every major event in the Bible and that every major character in the Bible is mentioned in conjunction with a tree, we shouldn't be surprised to find that Jesus, the carpenter of Nazareth, is spoken about centuries before his birth in Bethlehem as one who would grow up like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground, Isaiah 53 and verse 2. Then the prophet Jeremiah prophesied, saying, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise up to David a branch of righteousness, a branch of righteousness, a king who shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth." So here is the way God does Christmas, dear friends. A woodworker, a carpenter, is engaged to a humble, God-fearing teenager named Mary. The Holy Spirit of God plants a seed in her, and her baby is placed in a wooden manger, an animal's feeding trough, constructed of cheap timber. He grows up to declare, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." At the last Passover that Jesus shared with his disciples in the upper room in the old city of Jerusalem, he took the cup of wine, the fruit from the vineyard, lifted it up, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus then went to his favorite place to pray among the trees, the olive trees of Gethsemane. He had talked about faith like a mustard seed and said that the kingdom of heaven was like a tree that started out so tiny but grew to be huge. Now the Romans had many ways to kill people: stabbing, stoning, burning, drowning, being torn apart by lions in the Colosseum for sport. These were all accepted means of execution. Their worst form of execution, however, was crucifixion, killing a person on a tree stripped of its roots and branches. God chose to have Jesus executed on a tree. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. Adam and Eve had sinned in the Garden of Eden by taking and eating the forbidden fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden. Jesus took our curse upon himself and died for us. A crown of thorns was placed on his head, nails driven through his hands and feet, and he was lifted up on a tree, on a pole, on a piece of timber, on Golgotha's hill, on the cross of Calvary. God's Christmas tree is Jesus himself. He is the tree of life for all who believe in him. One of the oldest pieces of literature is the book of Job. And Job said, and I quote, "There is hope for a tree if it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will never cease." Do you see it? Jesus is God's Christmas tree. His life was cut down on the cross, but it sprouted again, just like the prophet said, and its tender shoots are everywhere. Jesus, God's branch of righteousness, the sinless Son of God, was cut down on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. But on the third day he was raised from the dead. And now all who repent and believe in him are born again and grow and bear fruit as they abide in him, the Lord Jesus, the genuine vine. John chapter 3 and verse 14, Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the bronze serpent on a pole in the desert, and those who looked and believed were saved from the curse of death, so the Son of Man, Jesus the Messiah, will be lifted up on the cross, a cross of wood, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." And heaven and earth are already full of millions of those shoots. This is the real story of Christmas. It has happened just as Job prophesied over 3,000 years ago. God's Christmas tree was chopped down. Jesus was crucified. But the tender shoots just keep on popping up all over the world. All over the world today, there will be more people who hear the good news about Jesus, the Christian gospel, repent of their sins, and receive new life in Christ. "There is hope for a tree," said Job, "if it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and its tender shoots will never cease." Job 14 and verse 7. God's tree is not like ours. God's tree is alive and well, and still producing new babies all over the world, those who are born again by placing their faith in Jesus, who was crucified on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. I hope you are the tree mentioned in Psalm 1, dear friend. The psalmist there says, "Blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Blessed is the person who trusts the Lord and walks in his will. He is like a tree, she is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in due season. And for those of us who are feeling the weight of the years, there is God's wonderful promise in Psalm 92, verses 12 to 15. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." Friends, when God sent his Son into the world 2,000 years ago, that first Christmas, he had the end in mind. Jesus had the end in mind when he went to the cross. For the joy set before him, the scripture says, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. We too, like God, like Jesus, must not stop at the manger in Bethlehem's stable. We mustn't stop at the manger, the birth of Jesus. We must move on to study his life. We must move on to his death on the cross. We must move on to his triumphant resurrection. We must move on to his glorious ascension and his present effective mediation, intercession, and sympathetic understanding high priesthood at the right hand of God. In Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, God's Christmas tree, if you don't mind the play on words, we are perfectly healed forever and ever at the tree of life. In the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, in the last chapter of the Revelation about Jesus and about heaven, we read, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree of the healing of the nations. No longer will be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more light night. There will be no need of the light of a lamp or even the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign for ever and ever." That's the Christmas we look forward to as followers of Jesus, one that will never end. Heaven will be like a happy, holy Christmas every day in the presence of the Christ who loved us and gave himself for us on the tree of Calvary, the cross upon which Jesus died. In many ways, trees are like Jesus. They give a lot more than they take. Jesus was poor by human standards, didn't own a house, didn't have a flashy appearance, but through his death on the tree of Calvary, through his death on the cross, 2,000 years ago, Jesus gave and still gives to all who will come to him the riches of heaven. How like Jesus are you this Christmas? Do you take more than you give, or like a tree, do you give more than you take? God's Christmas tree, the Lord Jesus, certainly does that. He gives forgiveness and the gift of new life to all who come to him, life that is full and everlasting. The Bible says wisdom is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. It also says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Friend, the wisest thing in all the world that any person can do at Christmas time is come to the Christ of Christmas, the one who it's all about, Jesus, God's eternal Son, who became truly man, so that we, the sons and daughters of men, could eternally become truly the sons and daughters of God. In Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What a wonderful gift! God so loved the world, so loved you and me, that he gave his one and only Son, so that believing on him we might not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the reason for the season. Jesus loved us and gave himself for us. And now he invites us, saying, "Come to me, all who are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." May I close with the Christmas story in rhyme. What a glorious moment when the time had fully come, and the angel from heaven announced Jesus' name to the lowly virgin, so humble and shy. "Your baby Mary will be the Son of the Most High." Then came the night of the Savior's birth, the glory of God coming down to earth. But the ways of God could hardly be stranger. His newborn son was placed in a manger. Meanwhile, some shepherds in the fields with their sheep were awakened by angels from their peaceful sleep. Suddenly the skies were ablaze with God's glory. All heaven was rejoicing at this marvelous story. "Glory to God in the highest," they sang, and all through the air their praises rang. "The Prince of Peace has come to earth, come to give man a second birth." Yes, this is what Christmas is really about. This is what makes us sing and shout. God gave his Son at infinite cost to seek and to save that which was lost. All we like sheep have gone astray. That's why the Savior was born today. This baby was born at Bethlehem's inn because the whole human race was lost in sin. The wage that sin pays is eternity in hell. That's why Jesus came on earth to dwell. He died for our sins on Calvary's cross to redeem us all from eternal loss. Bethlehem's baby is the great I Am, the Lion of Judah and the sacrificial lamb. He's the Lord of the Passover, the bread and the wine. He's the light of the world and the genuine vine. He's the good shepherd who laid down his life. He's the risen conqueror who ends all our strife. He's the doorway to heaven and the judge of mankind. He heals our diseases, gives sight to the blind. He gives living water to the thirsty soul. He forgives our iniquities and makes us whole. There's nothing too hard for Jesus to do. He loves his whole world and he loves me and you. He died on the cross and arose from the tomb to deal with our sin and to save us from doom. He reigns now in heaven, preparing a place for all who've been saved by his matchless grace. At the Father's right hand, he intercedes now that you, precious one, at the cross will bow. Turn from your own way and confess your sin. Receive his pardon and welcome him in. Don't let this day simply pass you by. Call out to Jesus. He'll hear your heart's cry. If you trust him as Lord, he will save you forever. All the powers of hell his love cannot sever. This is the message of Christmas, dear friend. In Christ there is life that never will end. This world needs a Savior, Jesus by name. Have you opened your heart to the Redeemer who came? God came to the earth for me and for you, so Jesus could change us and make us anew. Give him your heart, and there let him reign. Believe in him now, and be born again. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you today for the gift of Jesus, that you so loved each one of us, that you gave your one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world could be saved through you. How our world, our broken, troubled world today, needs saving, just as much, if not more, than ever before. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are a Savior perfectly suited to our need, that we can rejoice with all heaven and earth, saying today in the city of David, a Savior has been born, Christ the Lord. Grant that we may come to you today in the simplicity of faith, in repentance and sorrow over our sinfulness, waywardness, and self-centeredness, and ask your forgiveness and the cleansing of the blood of the cross, and that you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit now, invade our lives, bringing us into newness of life in Christ the risen one, and empowering us to live for his honor and glory all the days of our life. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Heavenly Father and the comfort and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen.